one of the greatest joys of being a little old under shepherd and pastor of a church is to watch these young uns grow in the grace of the Lord. You know, I'm taken back to whenever God first brought us here, and Kelly and Carly. And, well, here I'm going to leave somebody out, and I left Gracie out last time, so I'm going to be real careful. But all these young ones were children. And then the other day, I was looking on Kena's Facebook page, and I saw that Kelly got her driver's license. And I can't believe how fast time passes us by. And I don't know what's driving. If I've ever had a reason to be on my knees as a pastor, certainly with these youngins out on the road and driving, we certainly do. But I want to say to our young people how much I love you and I appreciate you from the depths of my heart. We're not just raising another generation to serve the Lord. This is the generation. And I want to say to the young people, certainly this is your church. And I always want you to have liberty to serve the Lord. That's what it's all about. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Samuel. The book of Samuel, the first chapter. We'll go into the first and second chapter. God has laid a thought upon our heart or a message. Let me say to the church how much that I missed you. Being away from you 2 weeks was the longest 2 weeks of my life. And I appreciate all the prayers. I'll say this, a lot of the effects of that coronavirus were not felt. I believe y'all were on your face praying. And for Keenan and I, we were blessed to have your prayers that it wasn't so severe. A lot of people have it and a lot going on. My goodness, have you ever seen a time like what we're living in right now? Now, I've come to tell you this morning, though, where God has sent me to tell you, to not be discouraged by what's going on around us, that sometimes things have to get to maybe their most desperate point, and that is the perfect situation for God to get involved and God to move. So often we see things happen, and if we're not careful, man gets involved and man gets the credit. But what if all these things were going on around us? God had a plan in it all. Do you believe He does this morning? What if God was going to make sure that out of all this tumult and trouble, out of all this sickness and all this sorrow, that He was going to reveal His grace and mercy through it all? Let me say this, brothers and sisters. Don't be discouraged. Know this. God always has the next move. God knows what we need. God knows exactly what's going on around us. The story that God has laid on our heart is found in the book of 1 Samuel. And it is the story of a woman by the name of Hannah. Here Hannah was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. The Bible says that he also had another wife, and her name was Peninnah. Peninnah had a lot of children by this man Elkanah. And here Hannah has had no children. Children in that day was more than anything. It was their status. It was who they were. It was everything was wrapped up in having a child. Let me say that in the day and age we live, there's nothing more beautiful, nothing more precious, nothing more necessary than a good, godly mother to her children. But Hannah hadn't had any children yet, and now this other wife, Peninnah, let me say this about poor old Elkanah. God help me here. I find it hard sometimes to be the man I ought to be. That's the right way to word that. To one wife, I can't imagine what it would have been like in those days. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I knew I'd get an amen out of that somewhere in the crowd. God bless you, Russ. But here Hannah is, and she feels like that God has forgotten her. And she feels like maybe that God has forsaken her. And no doubt she's prayed and she's asked God for a child. And now she's feeling like that maybe God has forgotten her. But now she's got this other woman. And we're going to start in verse 6. Her adversary provoked her sore, made her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, When she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Let me ask somebody in the house of God, have you ever found your soul in such misery? And have you ever been in such dire straits and had so much trouble in your life and maybe so much trouble going on around you that you found it hard to eat? She was so discouraged and she was so heartbroken and she felt maybe so depressed that she couldn't even eat. And her husband asked her, he says, honey, what is your problem? And she basically tells her husband that I don't have a child. And she goes off to the house of God. She goes to the house of God, verse 9, so she rose up after they had eaten and they had drunk, and then Eli the priest sat by a post on the temple of the Lord. She goes in to that of the temple, and the Bible said in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Oh, have you ever been to that place in life where you're so discouraged? And I believe that today in the nation that we live, there are a lot of discouraged Christians by what's going on around us. And maybe you've got something in your life going on that has discouraged you and made you sad and caused you to the point to where you want. Does God even hear you when you pray? She goes into the house of God. She vows a vow and says unto the Lord, O Lord, if thou wilt look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, listen, and remember me. Oh, you know what one of the saddest things in the world is? It's to feel like you're alone and nobody else cares. It's to feel like that nobody cares about you or the situation you're in. I believe there are a lot of people in the world today that are sad and sin sick. And there are a lot of people in the world today that are much discouraged and feel like they're alone. But thank God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. May not be nobody else on my side, but if I've got the Lord on my side and I'm on His side and I got a sweet group of people that love the Lord and are praying for me, I'm just persuaded this morning that everything's going to be alright. Is there anybody else in the house of God that's coming here this morning like my daddy said, an old sore-tailed cat, saddened and broken down, wondering how we're going to make it through this, that or the other, wondering how in the world will we survive the political things that are going on around us? Let me assure you today, God is greater than our trouble. Can somebody say amen? The Bible said, she prays to the Lord and says, Lord, remember me and forget not thy handmaid. He says, or she says, but will thou give thy handmaid a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall come upon his head. Listen, she's heartbroken. She's begging God for a child. And here's her commitment to God. She says, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll commit that child to your hand. I'll commit that child to the house of God. Let me say this. Are there any mamas in here that have committed their children to the hand of God? I'll tell you this, Kayla. Before you were ever born, you were committed into the hand of God. I've asked God to use you and bless you for His purpose. I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I see before me some young people that have been committed to the service of God. Kelly and Curly, when you come up here and sing, Noah, Abby, all you others, when God uses you, Maddie, I won't forget you this time, Gracie. Oh, I want you to know, Sister Ella, my Skinner girls, and boy, back I want you to know how precious it is to have young people in the church of the living God that are willing to work, and the hand of God is upon you. And while the world says that they've won, while the evil says it's won, God is doing something in the midst of our children. I've never seen anything like what's going on. And you take that and you go, oh, he's talking about the politics. No, I'm talking about the move of God that's going on. that maybe you don't know about. We've got some of our young people that have decided to get together and have Bible studies without a mom or daddy. Push them. They just decided they're going to get together and study the Word of God. I went to get my hair cut yesterday. We got this home by the Lord, me and the girl that was cutting my hair. There's a guy standing there listening to it. It was her husband. And he laid his hand on my shoulder and said, "Preacher, will you go outside and will you pray with me?" I'm telling you, God is moving in the hearts of His people. Mother Church, don't you worry. Trust in the Lord. God's got one great move left. And I don't know about you, but I plan to be a part of it. Danny, you sung that song this morning. Choir sung that song. Little is much when God is in it. Sometimes you wonder, this that I do, this little bit, does it matter? I want to tell you, eternally it matters more than you know. When you sow yourself and the young people and young children, it matters. And they are lives that are dependent on it. Here Hannah is. She's so saddened. She goes to pray. Have you ever tried to pray and been so broken you couldn't find the words? Have you ever been there? She's trying to pray and her mouth's moving, but there ain't no words coming out. I love what Paul said in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here she is, her mouth's moving, but there's no words coming out. But I'm going to tell you, listen, Eli the priest looks at her and thinks maybe she's been drinking or she's drunk there in the house of God. He couldn't hear what she was saying, but rest assured, God heard her. I want to tell you, listen, hey, the enemy will tell you God's not hearing you. He's a liar. God hears us when we pray. He goes over to her and he says, "Woman, what in the world are you doing being in the state, being drunk here in the house of God early, down on your knees in prayer?" And she says, "Oh, no." She says, "And let me pick this up." This is her reply. She answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm not a woman. No, Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit." Let me ask you something this morning. Has anybody walked in to the house of God with a sorrowful spirit? Let's be honest. Have you walked in this morning because of all the trouble that's going on around you? Maybe you've got things going on in your life and there's some things you've been asking God for and you have not seen them happen yet. And just maybe God allowed you to be here this morning to hear the Word of God and hear God say He has heard your prayer. Eli didn't understand. He couldn't hear, but God heard her. And the Bible said, she told him, she said, "Count not that a handmaid, a daughter of Belial." In other words, I'm not an evil woman. She says, "Out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Aren't you glad we serve a God that is able to take our complaints and take our sorrows and take our griefs? You can come to me and complain and I might just blow you off. You can come to me and complain and I might not hear you and I might not listen. But when we go to God and we pour out our heart, God sees us and God hears us. Eli answered and said, "Honey, go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that you've asked of Him." And listen, she came in sorrowful. She came in broken. She came in so troubled that she wasn't able to sleep. But the Bible said she went out her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Aren't you glad when you hear God speak to your situation, there's a peace that comes? I want to tell the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be sad about what's going on around you. Rejoice. Lift up your eyes. The coming of the Lord is nigh. God's got another move. And we'll see it one day after a while. The Bible says here, drop my glass, I gotta be able to get them on the seat, don't I? The Bible said, she goes her way, and as time goes on, maybe a month or a year later, God gives her that child that she's been praying for. Here's the hard part for so many of us. When I pray, I want to see God do it right now. When I pray, I want to see it happen. When I want to see it happen. But God's timing and my timing are not the same thing. Listen, what if God allowed this nation to get in such a pitiful shape? And let me say this, it ain't God's fault. It's ours. It's the choices that have been made, and it's the choices of so many that are around us. But what if God allowed these things to happen so that we could get to the point to where we no longer trusted in any man to be able to lift us out of this situation? And about the time it seemed hopeless, and about the time it seemed like that nothing would change, and about the time we were ready to give up, God got involved in the matter and flipped everything around. Is it any wonder the Bible teaches us they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? And sometimes we just have to wait, and we have to trust the Lord. Now, God grants her petition, and she has this child, and his name is Samuel. Let's talk about Samuel for just a minute. Boy, to get Samuel into this world, it took a lot of prayer, didn't it? To get Samuel into the world, a little old lady had a desire in her heart to have a child, and she didn't give up, and she trusted the Lord, and God did His part. Listen, the Bible said when she knew her husband, God remembered Hannah. Aren't you glad God remembers us? And so, here comes Samuel. Whether or not you want to believe this, Samuel was one of the greatest of the prophets. He was there to anoint King David. He was there to anoint Saul. He was there in the midst of maybe one of the greatest times of Israel's existence, when it was expanding and when it was going. Samuel was a major prophet of that day. God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness. She has this child, dedicates him to the house of God. Now, here's her prayer. Listen to this. And Hannah prayed. Now, the first time she prayed, let's look at her first prayer. Her first prayer, her lips were moving, but there was no sound. Her first prayer was out of a bitter heart. Her first prayer was out of a broken and a contrite spirit. Her first prayer was one of pain and sorrow and suffering. There are prayers that we have to God, that we go to God out of hurt and sorrow and concern, and we go to God out of just simple need. But then there are prayers when God passes by and touches our situation of rejoicing. Let me say this, church. If you're going to pray and ask God to do something in your life, when God does it, it's time to pray again. Not a prayer of that sorrow, and not a prayer of hurt, and not a prayer of need, but a prayer of rejoicing. Or is it any wonder? He said, I'll give you beauty for ashes and oil of joy for your mourning. She prayed the first time with a heavy heart. The next time she prayed, it was a prayer of thanksgiving. Is there anybody in the house of God got a prayer of thanksgiving for what God has done in your life? Here's what she said. And Hannah prayed, put your name in that little place. Oh, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged